Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
It's been a long time since we've done an episode where we actually just sat around and talked. This will be fun.
I can't even recall the last one we did.
It probably had something to do with monsters.
Monsters, maybe.
So I thought this would be fun to talk about some of the things I've been doing outside of podcasting for a little bit. I did Dragon Con and Crypticon back-to-back weekends. So thanks to my wife for letting me leave the house. It was great.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get a bit of a roundup of everything you've been doing. And I haven't been to Dragon Con since 2009, I think, was the one and only time I went.
Yeah, I think that's where we met, isn't it?
And now I'm thinking it was 2008.
I think it was 2008. Actually. I think we met there.
And because that's where you broached the topic of Monster Talk.
I definitely talked about podcasting. I think it took me almost a year to actually execute, to get it all together.
But, we started in 2009.
Right. So. But there was a fun year of planning and kind of thinking about it. So I keep thinking about it as being that we began in 2008, but I think our actual first recording was in I want to say July 2009, but that may not be right. But it was definitely in 2009.
Yeah, I think it could have been about June or July. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so this year I went, I did something a little different. So normally I hang out in the Skeptic Track the whole time. But Derek Tatum, who runs the Horror Track, is a listener of the show. And it turns out a lot of the people in the Horror Track actually listen to the show. It was really cool. So I went and spent some time with the Horror Track, and we did a panel on the Hammer Frankenstein movies, all of them.
Oh, great.
And then we also covered Suspiria, which had their 40th anniversary, and we went to see that. It actually came out to the theaters a week later, like a special remastered release. So Kathleen and I got to go see Suspiria in the theater, which is really cool.
Cool, yeah. And I think it's a lot of crossover between Skeptic Tracks, Science Tracks, and Horror Tracks.
Yeah.
I've been going to Horror Fest at Starfest in Denver for years now. And, you know, a lot of people are interested in the same things as us.
Yeah, and Dragon Con is such an amazing convention. The numbers they release are about how many people actually attend are a little vague.
Oh, it's like 60,000?
Yeah, but I think if you're actually realistic about it, it's probably more like 80. It's a lot
really?
Of people. Yeah.
I think you'd say less.
No. They the streets of Atlanta are just packed with nerds. It's fantastic. So,
and is it still across those four hotels downtown?
No, now it's across six. So
six, wow.
Yeah, it's really spread out, and it really covers most of downtown Atlanta. So it's really fun. But they have a paranormal track as well, so I spent a lot of time sort of hanging out in the paranormal track and, you know, hearing what's
great.
What. Well, I love it because, you know, I'm very interested in these sort of paranormal topics. And while I'm a skeptic, I love hearing the latest stories and what people are, you know, what the general thinking is along these lines. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
I had a good time. I got to go to some Bigfoot talks, some ghost talks, and some physics talks in that track. And then
we'd have listeners who would attend the paranormal track as well.
I'm sure we do. And it's really fun. I mean, the paranormal track is not a particularly skeptical track. One of the on their Bigfoot panel, Bill Brock, and he's on Destination America's Monsters Underground, and he has a YouTube channel, and he's a good talker. He's fun to listen to. While I don't agree with everything he says, I did enjoy his talk. I chatted with him there, and then I chatted with him again at Crypticon briefly. But I'd love to talk to him more. He had some interesting things to say. One of the things he talked about was when it comes to Bigfoot throwing rocks, he says he's seen bears throwing rocks, which I thought was a really interesting claim. I haven't seen that myself, but, you know.
No, I haven't heard of that before. It's interesting.
But it was interesting, exactly. But what's funny is the skeptic on the panel that he was on was a guy I went to college with named Kyle Cobb. And Kyle was really taking the really skeptical position on Bigfoot. But it was funny because Kyle on the track, his description is demonologist. And so I kept wondering, you know, if I were Bill and I were trying to defend against Kyle, my first question would be, you know, hey, you're calling Bigfoot BS, but your description says demonologist. What is
I think Joe Nickel, if you go to his website, he has about 200 different names and titles that he goes by. And I think he refers to himself as a demonologist as well, I guess, in the sense of being an expert about demon theory.
Yeah, that's it's a title. I don't really know how one gets fully qualified for it.
I think it's one of those ones you give to yourself.
I think so, yeah. from, what is it, Thunderwood University, right?
So why weren't you on any of these panels?
Well, so that's a great question. You're supposed to, if you're going to be a guest, you have to submit a form to like become a guest, and there's a deadline for that. And
it's very early in the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and I totally blew it off. And when I finally realized it was time to do it, I made time. I had missed the deadline, so I went with a regular membership. And Derek from Derek Tatum was nice enough to get me onto the horror track stuff as an add-on. But next year, I will make the effort to get on properly. I really did enjoy it. Plus, I feel like I would be a good fit for the skeptic track, the paranormal track, and the horror track. These are all topics I'm interested in. And I feel like I'm competent to talk about these topics without too much chance of sticking my foot in my mouth. So
you are, and you're a local as well. Local
That's
talent.
True. I am a local. Genuine Southern boy. So, but, and that's the funny thing, actually. When I was up, so the other thing I went to was CryptidCon, and while I was there, after talking for a few minutes with people from Kentucky, my Southern twang came out big time. And
right.
one of my friends asked me, what's going on with that? You know, like I'm adopting the Southern twang. Well, you know, as a linguist, this is actually something you're probably familiar with, which is the old concept of registers, right? So you have these social registers you speak in for different situations. Like, so there are always these presidents who go talk to a black church, and then suddenly they're talking like a black pastor, and everybody's like, oh, that's disingenuous, right?
Right.
But there are legitimate reasons why people talk differently in different contexts. Like, you wouldn't speak the same at a job interview as you would with your friends around a football game.
Oh, yeah. I think they're, in linguistics, would refer to them as formal or informal environments. In some countries, though, they'll actually have different languages or different dialects of a language that you'll speak.
Exactly.
I'm not sure where it is. I think it could be in Norway, but they have Bokmål and Runnemål, and one is spoken in formal places like in banks and in schools, and the other is just used on a day-to-day basis. So I could be wrong with the country I've referred to, but and certainly I was in Australia throughout August, and I think it took all of about half an hour for me to be back home for me to really just start converging towards the Australian English accent again.
A huge tangent, but I feel like when I was growing up, talking Southern made me feel ignorant. And now, as an adult, I realize that was probably just, you know, me being hypersensitive to the case. Yeah, you know,
those are stereotypes, yeah, I think,
exactly.
You know.
But I did make it a deliberate attempt to try to learn to talk like the people on PBS. And so when I'm hanging out with my family, not my wife and kids, but my like more extended family, I do tend to fall right back into my Southern tropes, and I feel very comfortable with that. I don't feel like I'm faking it. I feel like this way I'm talking right now is more of an affectation than the way I talk naturally with my family. So it's a little peculiar. I'm a little at odds with my own self about the way that I approach these forms of speech. So.
Well, again, I think it depends on who we're talking to, and you know, an example that's always used in linguistics is if you went into a pub in England, you wouldn't start using received pronunciation to sound like the Queen. You'd be using more of a Cockney accent to get along with other people in the pub. So, you know, different ways of speaking, either different accents or being more formal in your language or less formal. It just depends on the environment that you're in.
And this may seem like a rabbit hole of asides, but I'll tell you that this is all, it all matters because it kind of points to the complexity of humans. Like, each of us is a very complex being. And that matters because I think what visiting the Skeptics track and the Paranormal track and CryptidCon all reminded me of of how we're perceived being so important. And people don't get to know you over time. Like, you're, you know, when we're doing this podcast, they're only getting one little facet of who we are. And,
oh, yeah.
And we're really complicated people. We have really complicated lives. And
I swear my head off.
Right, right. And I don't feel like I'm
show.
Right. I don't feel like I'm being phony, but that's, you know, no, it is a form. Just, it's definitely something we're doing on purpose, where we edit the show and take out some of the mistakes, and we try to be as error-free as possible. We try to speak clearly. You know, I don't
being
I don't
appropriate
know.
For the domain that we're in.
Yeah. So, but to admit that I love monsters, to me is just a fact of my life, right? But
it's a part of you.
Yeah, it really is. But it's such a big part of me. It's really one of those things it spans across, you know, I love monsters more than I love puns. If I had to give up puns or monsters, puns are out the window, right?
I thought you were going to say your wife there.
No. No, she gets to stay, and she would probably be excited that I was getting rid of the puns, let's be honest.
Yeah, after all these years.
So, I mean, we've been married for 17 years, so there's been dozens of puns, right?
dozens, yeah.
But it is.
The listeners wouldn't like it if you dropped the puns, though. I mean, they're always talking about your puns.
It's surprising we have as many listeners as we do.
Maybe they're just one-time listeners.
Yeah.
Tune in once.
Done, right?
This sounds pretty cool.
Oh, no. What have I gotten into?
They get turned off.
That's all right. No,
so, yeah. Crypticon, were you invited as a guest, or did you submit an abstract to speak, or how did your involvement start?
So Sharon Hill, a colleague of ours, sent me an email about this, and she and Jeb Card, who we've heard from the Archaeological Fantasies podcast, was on our show before. The two of them and I went up there to meet, but when she told me about it, I decided to actually reach out to them and see if they'd be willing to have me on as a guest. And they were great. They were delighted. And so they added me to the guest list, and they gave me a slot to talk, and it was fantastic. And I'm really glad that I did it.
So were you the only skeptical speaker there?
Well, you know, there's this thing that happens in cryptozoology and in paranormal where people go up and say things like, you know, technically I'm a skeptic about this stuff, but I, you know,
of
and
course,
so,
yeah.
And they mean that to the best of their ability, but it's not really the same as people who would be involved with Skeptical Inquirer or Skeptic Magazine.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Practicing skeptics.
Right. So practicing skepticism versus self-identifying as a skeptic, it's somewhat different.
Oh, but, yeah.
But it was really fun to get up there, and, I let's be honest, I love monsters. I keep saying that, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And I was delighted to get a chance to hang out with these people who love cryptozoology as much as I do, who love monsters as much as I do.
Well, how were you received then?
Oh, extremely well. So the first night, the three of us had sat down. I thought we were just going to sit in the bar and sort of like get a plan together. And we were barely, I'm not even sure if we had our first drink yet, when Cliff Barrickman showed up. Which I think it might be pronounced Barrickman, but either way, Cliff came over and sat down with us. I really don't know how he decided that, but he did, and it was really awesome. And so I'm hoping Cliff will actually come and talk to us on the show.
That would be great.
But he was a delight to talk to, and he knows so much about human history. It was really surprising. I guess that, you know, I'll let him talk about that if he shows up to visit with us, like I'm hoping he will. We also got to meet Lauren Coleman, and I'm hoping he will talk to us as well.
I saw the photos on Facebook.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, these are people I've talked to online before and have reached out to before, but I don't really think they knew me well enough to commit to actually showing up here. And I'm hoping that we made a good impression. But Cliff definitely made a good impression. He really knows a lot about human origins. That doesn't really come out or come across in Finding Bigfoot, in my opinion. And he had some really interesting things to say about the show, which I will not disclose because I haven't really – I felt like we were talking off the record.
Well, some insider.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that if he comes on, we can actually repeat those conversations and maybe dig a little deeper. It was really
fantastic.
Great. It was wonderful meeting Lauren. I've read his books. You know, he's been involved in cryptozoology for many years.
And he was
really fun to talk to as well. Again, I think it was kind of funny because we have a reputation as being very skeptical people. And but I feel like I'm quite different from, say, Joe Nickel or Michael Shermer, those guys. And I don't dislike those guys, but I feel like I'm probably more inclined to give, I don't know how to put this, a fair hearing to people. I don't come to really strong conclusions on stuff ahead of time. And I'm not saying they do necessarily, but especially not Joe. Joe does really good research, but I'm less inclined to have a definitive answer for a case. I'm more inclined to say, here's my best guess based on the evidence we have, but I don't know. Because a lot of these cases, there's never going to be a definitive answer. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of skeptics will draw conclusions and come up with, say that they've solved something, and really they're just kind of coming up with stock responses rather than going and doing a hands-on investigation. I'm not referring to anyone in particular, but I think that you've got so many different character types within skepticism.
Absolutely.
And I think you and I are definitely more moderate.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. We're very moderate, and I hope we're being as true to what a good skeptic should be as we can be. And there was a recurring theme in the people who have heard our show and talked to me, and it was, thank you for not being an asshole. And I felt like honestly, we're not. And so I felt like that was a really nice affirmation that we're taking a good approach here. So
we've occasionally had it said that we mock people or ridicule people or laugh at people.
So
but I think maybe that might have even been years ago when we were still kind of finding our footing with the show.
Fairly sad.
Maybe.
That's a really good point.
Maybe someone just listened to one episode and just heard something that they disagreed with and just took umbrage to it, and who knows. But I think by and large we try to be fair.
I would say one of the things that sorry, a spider just dropped on my head, which I think I handled that very well.
I think you did. You really kept it cool. Well, this is Monster Talk, so that was appropriate.
Absolutely. So I try not to kill them, but I also don't like the building webs down here. So,
or landing on your head during a podcast.
Or landing on my head during a podcast. Sorry. So now I've lost my track. I can think of a spider in my hair. But fortunately, I have very little hair, so, you know, that's okay. So this criticism of us being a-holes, you know, again, most people were saying we weren't, which was great. But the thing is, when it comes to laughter, I laugh at everything. I am a jovial person, and I really can't control that. And so it's really easy to hear someone talking, and if you disagree with their perspective, to read a lot into why they're laughing, right?
Oh, yeah. I think some of it can just be trying to instill camaraderie and just friendliness You know, I don't think we've ever done anything to be cruel or mean
or nasty.
And,
right. Even when we were at our most contentious, I thought we were fair and even tempered about the whole thing. I there's very rare times when I get righteous about cryptozoology. It's like I have opinions about stuff, but I don't. It rarely triggers me into like a, oh, no, this must not stand kind of thing.
No, I'd agree with you.
So I get concerned because I listen to so many paranormal podcasts and so many cryptozoology podcasts, and I hear how skeptics are described, and I think, oh no, you know, we have a real public image problem, and I hope we're doing good work to help clear that up. But it is a fairly serious issue. And those can be straw men. I mean, they can be, the bad skeptic would say this, and then they say something that a skeptic might say.
I think they're thinking of that kind of, you know, prototypical skeptic on TV, the person who's brought in just to say no. And that's pretty much all they do, token skeptic.
Let's be fair, those people do exist. I've heard them, and there's some really bad examples out there. So.
And especially the way that they're portrayed with editing. We just come across as naysayers and cynics.
Yeah, and the cynic thing especially bugs me. But this is all going to come to bear on some upcoming episodes. I know we've corresponded a little bit on the side about it, but a podcast that I really enjoy is called Astonishing Legends. They recently did some coverage of the Kelly Hopkinsville goblins. And I had been putting off that case for us to cover because it's such a complicated story. But some things happened that were covered in the part three of that episode that I feel like we need to respond to. But I also feel like we need to do coverage of that case as well prior to dealing with that. And I've been in correspondence with them and the scientists who were discussed in that episode. And I think really good things are coming out of it. So
I think it'd be interesting to get some different perspectives on it.
Right. I want to mention that because it is something I'm working on. I know some of our listeners have asked if we're going to be talking about it. We are.
We get lots of requests nowadays.
We do, and I love that. I know one of the next ones we're going to be doing is Lizard Man as well. One of our listeners has been so persistent and politely asking, when are we covering the Lizard Man? So I talked to Lyle Blackburn while we were up there, and he's pretty much done the definitive research on that case, and I'd like to have him back on and talk about his book and our thoughts.
He was fantastic.
Topic. Oh, yeah, he was great. And I think he was having a real hoot at this CryptidCon thing too. So it was
a bit of a celebrity there. Hey?
Yo, for sure. Yeah. I have to say, this was their first one. It was a small hotel, older hotel. They were very nice. We had a couple of interesting incidents. The power went out on Saturday night and went out on Sunday morning.
Spirits.
I think actually somebody drove into a transformer, but yeah, basically there could have been spirits involved, right?
Yeah, of a different kind.
Right.
It is Kentucky, right?
It was. There was a big party going out on the patio. Yeah. Bourbon. No, they had a lot of, I think there's two different distilleries in the town. The bourbon was flowing quite freely. It was
sounds like a lot of fun.
It really was. And the people, the fans were great. And I see the Monster fans. There were actually, this is the most amazing thing to me, there were fans who came just to hear me talk or for Monster Talk. And so we had real listeners who drove from as far away as Chicago.
Really?
I was so humbled by that. And I really appreciated it. So I was able to give them posters and sign them. And really nice to meet everybody. And I feel kind of dumb right now that I didn't catch everybody's name and mention them by name right here. But it was fantastic because I knew that at least the third of the people that came to listen to my talk were actually fans of the show. And that was wonderful.
Oh, how cool.
Oh, it was really great. So hopefully I didn't stumble through my little talk too badly. I was trying to talk about science and monsters and some of the overlap between those topics and how we use science and monsters on our show and monsters as a springboard to talk about science topics. There were a few people who I was getting a little stony face from some of the people in the audience. And that made me, I've never had that before. I've never had like openly hostile people before. And nobody was mean or anything. But
did anyone leave during the talk or?
No, they were very polite.
Cuss and storm out.
I heard from other people that there were some people shaking their heads and saying, no, that's not right. That sort of thing. But,
It's hard to tell, though, from people's expressions and, you know, our skeptical opinions of body language. You know, they could have just been thinking about what you were saying or thinking about themselves. And
Yeah. And I hope they'll give the show a listen. And you know, the whole thing here is the way we do our show, there's topics that we cover and you don't have to listen to every episode. And I think they all stand alone very nicely. So.
Oh, absolutely. In our archives.
Yeah. We've done a few episodes where we could say definitively this is the answer, right? Where we know it's a hoax for sure, or we were able to definitively prove this is the case. But most of the time, there's a lot of ambiguity there.
A lot of question marks still.
And our show has never really been so much about that's not right and that's not right. It's more about, you know, how does science deal with this and what else can we think about? And what if this were real, what would it be like? So I like that. So.
Oh, yeah, and looking at the folklore as well and just the history and all the aspects.
One peculiar thing that kept coming up was the description, when we're talking about those sort of pseudo-skeptical views, like people who they were doing these straw man versions of skeptics. They were like, well, skeptics say this stuff never happens, and skeptics never have these weird occurrences. And if the skeptics would have one strange occurrence, they would totally change their belief system.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting because they obviously just need to read your book.
Right. Yes. We're going to move on to talking about my book. Would You Believe It? Mysterious Tales from People You'd Least Expect. So I released this going back earlier this year now. So it's been around for a little while. And I think we've talked about it on the show previously too. But I think this is an interesting intersection of for believers and for skeptics as well. So it's I've just found over the years, and I'm sure you've found this as well, that when you get interviewed on particularly on paranormal shows, that they'll always ask you, have you ever had a paranormal experience or a strange experience yourself? And historically, I'd just say, you know, no, I haven't, and kind of shake it off. And so anyway, I got talking to my husband, Matthew, about this, and he had a wealth of stories of Bigfoot experiences and UFO sightings and ghost sightings and all kinds of stories. And I really thought about things, and I thought, I've been doing this for about 20 years now. I've been going and investigating all kinds of claims and phenomena, and yet I've never seen anything or experienced anything. And so I got thinking about it more, and I realized, you know, I have actually had some strange experiences, and I wouldn't personally call them paranormal. I guess you could call them paranormal-like. So some weird experiences, things that have happened to me, and I've just sought natural scientific explanations for them, whereas maybe other people would seek supernatural or resort to paranormal explanations instead. So I kind of drew the conclusion that paranormal experiences are really all in the interpretation. And so I started speaking with people such as your good self and other skeptics, and just found that most skeptical friends of mine have had a paranormal-like experience of their own. So I thought, you know, I should just compile a set of these stories and take a look at them. And so I got a bunch of our friends to contribute to this book, and a lot of the contributors will be well known to our listeners, people like James Randi and Joe Nickel, Eugenie Scott, and then people we've had on the show like Ken Fetter and Brian Regal and Haley Stevens and yourself too. So plenty of skeptics who've had these experiences. I think there is a stigma though among skeptics, and so a number of people that I approached about it didn't want to be involved. A few people wanted to be involved, but they just wanted to go anonymously, to contribute anonymously. But then I had one famous magician as well say to me that he's never had a paranormal-like experience because he's not credulous.
Aww.
And so, but I think it's not so much a matter of being credulous. It's a matter of the interpretation of your experiences. And so, yeah, I've got this very interesting collection of stories of UFO sightings and faith healing and seances and Bigfoot encounters, alien encounters, written by skeptics and scientists and magicians.
I think it's fascinating because that whole thing where people who believe in this stuff and see skeptics and they're, well, if you just saw, you'd believe, or, you know, or you never look, you're sitting in your armchair. And it's like, well, they don't know, obviously, because I know I've went looking for ghosts. I've gone looking for ghosts. Boy, if my Kathleen ever listens to this show, she's going to kill me. So I, for those who don't know, she's an editor. And so mm-hmm. I'm constantly correcting myself. So I can barely leave a grocery list without the red ink coming out. So, but anyway, we do. There are many skeptics who go looking for Bigfoot, you know. And now, I'm not being sarcastic there. I don't mean they go for a walk in the woods. I mean, there's people who mm-hmm. earnestly would like to see Bigfoot. They, you know, and you don't, even if you don't believe it's real, going out and taking a look is the right way to go if you want to, like, be genuine about it, right? So
it's good fun. It's like legend tripping, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the same reason that you watch movies or documentaries about all these, you know, these phenomena. And, you know, but with the stories, they're not all explained in the book. Some of the contributors don't have explanations for what happened to them, and a good number of them also will come up with explanations, but they can't know for sure exactly what's going on. But I think it is a skeptical tenet, really, to be able to say, I don't know.
Well,
it doesn't mean that it's
exactly.
inexplicable. It just means at this point you can't explain.
It's fun, and it's interesting, and it's human. It's very human. And For people to think that all skeptics are just deep rationalists who deny the weird of the world, that's just so far from the reality of it.
Yeah, that's more cynicism, and certainly
there are
skeptical
people,
community.
Right, you're right. And it's just like there are people who believe everything. So you know, even when things are in conflict with each other. So,
I had an interesting review from one lady who is a believer, and she called people like that hard boiled. So.
I always think of hard boiled for detectives, but yeah, that's right. So,
but yeah, it just does seem like these are human experiences. These are really common, and I have a nice afterword, which is written by Jim Alcock. I don't think we've had him on the show before. He's in at York University in Canada. And when I contacted him, I said, do you have a story that you can contribute to the book? And he said, you know, I haven't, which is just really strange because I've been teaching courses at university for decades, and I teach my students that they will have these experiences, that they're common. So instead, he ended up writing a really good afterword.
Nice. That's very nice. It's not a super expensive book, but it definitely addresses those claims that skeptics never have anything weird happen to them. Or the other one, which I think is funny, is the if they did, then that would be it for them. They would totally change their worldview. And
It's all in the interpretation. Yeah. And so with some of the stories that I talk about, I just, not necessarily on the spot, but over time came up with plausible to me explanations for what happened, and I just accepted those and forgot about them and didn't think of them as being paranormal. Whereas with other people, you know, I guess it can depend on socialization too, if they're raised to believe in ghosts, if they're spiritual or religious and things happen to them and they see them as being signs or omens of some kind, and kind of remembering the hits and forgetting the misses, I guess.
Exactly. And that's been a problem for several hundred years. So I mean, really longer than that, but that whole criticism that people, remember the hits and forget the misses has been in the literature for a long, long time.
Oh, it has, yeah.
So, speaking of Crypticon, I wanted to mention, let me stop and say that we will put another link to Would You Believe It? I wish there was a way we could just sort of give that book to people who make that claim, because it really does address that completely. And it's also interesting stuff. But
thank you. Yeah, it was really good fun to compile. In fact, I think it's my favorite book. I think of everything I've written anyway, I've enjoyed this the most. And there's some really fun stories in there. Again, I think that's just another perception of skeptics, that we kind of suck the fun out of everything. And
well, you're putting me to shame in Output, by the way. So you're accruing quite the little author's page on Amazon. So people should check that out. There's a link to that on your bio on the monsterdog.org page.
Yes, there is. Yes.
So
I'm trying. Yeah. It's a reason, nice. I don't get to see my family.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. So I've got to get more stuff actually executed. But I'm happy with the research I'm doing. I wish my book was further along. And I'm having all these real strong urges to work on some of my fictional ideas as well. But the impulse is there. The research is done. Oh, we just got to get it done. In the words of Merle Lafferty, we should be writing. So
just, you're going to have to find some time every day, set aside an hour.
That's right. It takes discipline, just like working out, everything else. But yeah. That's okay. You know what? I'm not going to get into that because it's a rabbit hole of self-criticism. But I wanted to mention, speaking of monsters a little bit more, at Crypticon, one of the things that really blew me away was how excellent the dealer's room was. I just had come back from Dragon Con, and Dragon Con has a vast dealer's room, and it's just full of pretty much anything you can imagine. But it's spread all over the spectrum of what fans are into. And this Crypticon really had a strong focus on, guess what? Cryptids.
Monsters.
So yeah, and monsters in general, right? So lots of cool items there, but some of them were so cool that I reached out to the vendors and asked them if maybe we could work on getting a Monster Talk discount. That would not be to get a kickback for me or anything like that. It's not. I mean, I really do want to keep the show advertising free, but I do think it would be fun to, like, you know, be able to pick up some of this swag. One of the things that really amazed me was this guy had put together all these cryptid patches, like you would put onto a jacket. And he had them for almost all the major cryptids you might think of. And like, some of them were more like, you know, Monster Hunter patches, and they're just amazing. So I'm working on getting us a discount code for his web store, and he said he'd get back to me on that. So I'll put a link to that in the maybe we should have a swag page or something like that. I'm not really quite sure, but it was really, really cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. What kinds of things did they have then?
His website's called monsterologist.com.
Monsterologist.
Yeah, and he's a really good graphic designer. It's very, very nice. But they had the Kraken, the Mothman, a Roswell patch, Bigfoot, lots of Bigfoot options there, and Chupacabra. One of the ones I think is really cool is the Cryptid Command patch. It looks like it should go on like an army jacket.
I was thinking they sound like Boy Scout.
Oh, they really? Yeah, they are a little bit like that. They seem more, a little bit more military. But he's got Dogman, the Flatwoods Monster. Just a lot of very cool patches. He's got some special three packs and this sort of thing. I posted a picture of them on our Facebook group. But also, again, I'm going to put some kind of... We need to have a little link for this in the show notes. Not today. Yeah. Maybe I'm probably going to put some sort of like a link for swag or something. But
yeah, I think a lot of listeners will be interested in
this. I didn't realize I had such a bag fetish until I saw these things. And then I was like, badge fetish. And I definitely have a bag fetish. That's different. But this was... It really blew me away. I'm going to send you the link. I won't put this part in there, but...
Sure, maybe you can have something in the, as you said, in the show notes, and maybe
I'll go and put something in the show notes. But if you're patient, we should get some kind of a discount code, and maybe we could do something with that. But these are really, really nice. The guy obviously really loves monsters, and is a nice artist. And we've got a lot of great artists in our listeners as well. I mean,
we really do. And it's such a great theme though for art.
Yeah, but I just really like these. There's a simplicity of design. He's just really done good work. So
nice.
And the quality's nice. I'm actually going to have, I bought three of them just to start out, and I'm going to have them embroidered on my man purse.
So nice. They sound cute.
Oh, they are. They're great. So I sent you a link for that. But
thank you.
You're welcome. So I'll put that in the show notes. I'll have to figure out how to edit that so it doesn't sound foolish.
No. I'm sure you can keep some of it.
And then I thought I would go ahead and mention we are working on injecting some a new sort of type of episode we're going to call Monster Science Cinema, which I was inspired by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is kind of famous. Well, he's famous for a lot of things, but one of the things he likes to do is go watch a perfectly good movie and then complain about the science in it.
Right.
And I don't want to be like that, but I do like the idea.
Yeah, a lot of skeptics do that, though.
Yeah, it can be fun to tear apart a movie, but I think it's even more fun to say, well, this is what they were talking about, and that's fun, but here's what the real science would look like. And so I'm trying to get...
belief.
Yeah, exactly. So that's about all I want to say about that right now, but I am very excited about some of those episode ideas, and we're working on rounding up some of the experts to come and speak knowledgeable about.
Yes, we are. There's been a real flutter of correspondence over the past month or so.
There has. So we may not get episodes out as quickly as we'd like, but we certainly are working strongly behind the scenes to try to make whatever we do get out of good quality. So
yeah,
I think that's about all I really wanted to cover today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long we'd want a chatty episode like this to be. I mean, usually an hour for a regular episode. I think that just for chatting, this is probably long enough.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about or promote?
Well, I've written a couple of short stories, too. I don't know if you've been able to see them yet.
I shared the links, but I haven't been able to read them yet, so...
Well, I don't know if we can really insert this in anywhere because we're kind of already glossed over that.
We'll put a link to all of your writing in both the show notes and in the obviously you've already got it on your bio page by linking to your author page on Amazon.
Yeah. I think I've just in many ways I'm kind of surprised that I am a skeptic. I think originally when I started out I just was interested in the paranormal. And always wanted to write horror, and so I thought there's no time like the present, and I never have time anyway, so I'm just trying to cram this in, but I've just written a number of short stories, and eventually I thought it'd be nice to be able to compile them into a book of short stories. I mean, I grew up on Somerset Maugham and Roald Dahl's short stories, The Tales of the Unexpected, and Guy de Maupassant's stories. I mean, some of those just have incredible twists. I love stories with a good twist at the end. And I've written two stories. One's called Don't Leave Me, and another is Unforeseen Circumstances. And so I've released those over the past couple of months. So they're really the kind of stories that you can just read over a coffee. So maybe take you about 20 minutes, no more. And they've both got unexpected twists at the end, and just having a lot of fun doing that. It's really just some brain candy, I guess.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with horror. You, as you know, behind the scenes, I'm working on something related to horror as well. So I don't.
Yes, speaking of which, yeah. Lots of
that'll be fun.
Irons in the fire. Yeah.
Because I just don't have enough free time wasted on this sort of thing.
Exactly. Life's just too short. So much we want to do.
I wish I was immortal or didn't have to sleep or both. Yeah. So.
We might be.
Yeah, well, there's that. So I always think about sleep. It's like I like sleeping, but I feel like it's such a waste of time. And it's like,
oh, I just, since the baby, I'm always tired nowadays. So I just kind of put up with it and soldier on.
That's rough. But we're gonna end on a high note. So we're gonna recommend everybody check out your fiction. Your Would You Believe It book, which is great. And again, thank you for everybody who came out to see me at Dragon Con and at Cryptid Con. And it was so great to meet listeners in real life.
And just thank you to everyone for the emails that we get. I mean, we get emails pretty much every day from people just making suggestions and giving us feedback on the show. And it's just fantastic to hear from people.
It really is. So again, we wouldn't do this show if we didn't have such wonderful listeners. I mean, we would have done a few, but we would have given up. So it really is wonderful to meet you people in real life. And hopefully we're setting a good example for what skeptics can be. People who use critical thinking and science to evaluate the evidence, but still love a good story and love being human and all the things that that implies. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully inspiring people to do their own shows and write their own blogs and make their own monster patches. And
yeah, absolutely.
whatever you want to do that's monster related to just get out there and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, oh, you know, I should say that there's a kid called the Cryptid Kid.
The Crypto Kid.
His name's Colin. Crypto Kids. Colin Schneider. And he gave a talk right before I did it at Crypticon. And I don't know. I'm guessing he's like late teens. But he did really good research. I was really impressed. He's already doing like a radio show and doing a lot of this research. And he was going back to primary sources. And I mean, I can't really speak to all of his research because I've only heard this one talk, but I was really impressed at the amount of work he was putting into this stuff. He was really doing rock solid research from everything I could see. So I told him, I said, that was very inspiring because while I was reading a lot at his age, I wasn't actually doing this kind of research until I was well into my 30s. And it's nice to get ahead of the curve there. So I hope he sticks with it.
Absolutely. We should have him on the show sometime.
I agree. I'd like to learn a little bit more about what he's into, but I really did enjoy talking with him. So young blood. So,
yeah, very cool. It's always great to meet the next generation.
It really was. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. So he was a real joy to talk to. So.
Cool.
Anyway, so thanks to everybody who came out, and thanks for the people who put on CryptidCon, and thanks to Derek over at DragonCon for having me on those panels. That was a lot of fun.
And are they going to do CryptidCon annually?
It sure looks like it. That's what they're leaning towards. So
great.
Yeah, okay. I'm really hoping that next year I'll be able to attend again. It was just.
Will it be in the same place, or you don't?
No, they're still looking at the venue and trying to figure that out. So.
Denver is a good place.
Well, I don't know where they're based out of. I'm guessing it's somewhere in Kentucky. But you're right. I mean, it's. Oh, you know, I should mention this as well. I go to a lot of conventions, and this convention had two different T-shirts. And one of them was nice. It was the regular, I guess, the default CryptidCon shirt that most of the people were wearing. But their alternate shirt was astonishing. It was such a great cryptid shirt. It had, had Mothman, had the Kelly Hopkinsville Goblin. I'm going to forget something. It had Bigfoot.
Did you get one of them? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's upstairs. I didn't bring it down here for the recording.
So were they just handed out to guests? Or?
Yes, in exchange for a $20 donation.
Fair enough.
But they were really nice shirts. I am really blown away. I think I should probably put that in the show notes, how cool those shirts were.
Well,
I don't know if they still have it left over.
You need to wear it and have a picture taken and to post it on the Monster Talk Facebook group.
Exactly. I like it. That's a really good point. I bought a stack of shirts, Karen. They were a lot of the Monster shirts were only $10 a piece. That's half the price they were.
Wow, that's cheap.
And they were, one of the vendors had horror shirts for some just absolutely fantastic monster movies. I got a new one for The Thing. I got one. I'm actually wearing one right now for the Loch Ness Horror, which I think was a Hammer production, but it was one of the few Nessie movies that were ever made. And they had Dawn of the Dead and then all kinds of Sasquatch movies from the 70s. That, it was great. I was in monster heaven, I'll be honest. I mean,
yeah, it sounds it.
So, yeah. I was just delighted to be able to represent science and skepticism and also enjoy the glory that is Monster World. So it was good stuff.
Well, I really hope to get to one of them in the future. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It really was. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. And I was glad to be a part of it. So, all right, let's call it a night.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzno.
In this episode, you heard a chat with Blake Smith and Karen Stolzno about my recent visit to CryptidCon 2017 and to DragonCon 2017. I hope you enjoyed it, and that if circumstances allow, we can meet you at some future event as well. Monster Talk's an official podcast of Skeptic Magazine. The views expressed in this episode are mine and Karen's and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Skeptic Magazine or the Skeptic Society. We're all different in how we approach the task of promoting skepticism and critical thinking, and we welcome well-intentioned, constructive criticism and hope our colleagues do as well. Remember, you can always reach us by email by contacting Blake at MonsterTalk.org or Karen at MonsterTalk.org. You can also check out our Facebook page by searching Monster Talk in the Facebook webpage or application. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Monster Talk. Each episode, we strive to bring you the best in monster-related content with a focus on bringing scientific skepticism into the conversation. If you enjoy Monster Talk, we now have a variety of ways to support the show, all with convenient links at monstertalk.org/support. That's monstertalk.org/support. There we have links to our Patreon pages as well as a donation button. A great way to support the show is to buy us books from our Amazon Monster Talk wish list, which directly helps us with our research. We love used books very much, so don't feel compelled to buy new ones, and we love Kindle, and we can share our digital library with each other. Finally, without spending any money at all, you can support us by leaving a positive review at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive reviews help keep us visible in iTunes, which is a great way to help us find new listeners. And please, share our show on your favorite social media platforms.
Hi, my name is Barry Carr, and I'm here with Tom Flynn and Jim Wunderdown talking about the upcoming PsyCon conference this October in Las Vegas. So, Tom, Jim, what are you looking forward to coming out to PsyCon?
I cannot wait. I will be hosting the disco party on Saturday night, and is it a zombie disco party?
If you want to dress as a zombie, that's fine. That's what we're billing it as, a costume party, so come as you like.
Yeah, and we're actually going to have cash prizes and dancing and drinks.
Is it true that the grand prize will be a big bowl of brains?
Well, leaving the brains and the zombies aside, this is a conference with some heavyweights in the skeptical community. For instance, we have Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, James Randi, Eugenie Scott. The list actually goes on and on. We have almost 40 speakers coming or more. We have workshops, of course, entertainment, as we mentioned. Anything you particularly want to see?
My dear friend Richard Wiseman will be here, also from the UK, author of Quirkology. I can't wait to see him.
And don't forget Richard Saunders from Australia. It's going to be Richards busting out all over.
It's the richness of Richards.
It absolutely is.
I'll be gambling, too, at some point.
No, skeptics do not gamble. Don't gamble. We know the odds. We don't do that.
If my experience last year is any indication, skeptics do not gamble. Skeptics win.
I have a system. Barry, I have a system that is guaranteed to win. I'm going to grab a stack of chips and run.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, the New Yorker writer Maria Konnikova is going to be receiving the Ballas Award for Critical Thinking for her most recent book.
Right, The Confidence Game. Yeah, Maria was a speaker last year. She spoke about The Confidence Game last year. This year, she's talking about her new book, which is about luck.
What better to talk about luck?
She'll vindicate me. The Skeptical Toolbox people will be there. Ray Hyman, Jim Elcock, Harriet Hall.
And speaking of skeptics groups that are coming, we have the Skeptics Guide to the Universe. The whole crew is coming this year.
It seems a little skeptic heavy, don't you think, this conference?
This is the Skeptics Heavyweight event of the year.
It does not get better than this.
So we hope to see you there. It's October 26th to the 29th at the Excalibur Hotel. It's the one that looks like the big castle. You know, you'll see it when you fly into the airport, you see the towers, Rapunzel's there.
It's the one that looks like the Walt Disney Opium Dream.
So come check us out in Las Vegas.
Monster Talk theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. As always, thanks for listening.
Want to stay abreast of the latest from Skeptic Magazine and the Skeptic Society? Want cutting-edge skeptical articles delivered straight to your inbox every week? Then subscribe to eSkeptic, the free electronic newsletter of the Skeptic Society. Visit skeptic.com to sign up.
Jeb Card, who we've heard from on the Archaeology... the Archie Fantasy... I'm totally messing this up. The Archaeological Fantasies podcast was on our show before.